College with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. We're going to talk some UVA basketball here on this podcast. Now, there's not a lot of news this time of year in basketball. Today is August 1st, and so we're coming up on 4 months past championship night. Oh, wow. It's 4 months. Feels like yesterday. It also feels like an eternity ago, and we're still 3 months from the start of the next season. So we're sort of in between, silly season time. But I saw a recent interview. Paul Biancardi, the recruiting analyst at ESPN, had a sit-down with UVA basketball coach Tony Bennett, and a couple tidbits I picked out of that I thought were worth writing about and then talking about here on the podcast. The first has to do with Kadeen Shedrick, the four-star power forward in this year's recruiting class. And it's been speculated widely that Shedrick is probably due for a redshirt year this year, and that would make sense for lots of reasons. I mean, Tony tends to redshirt his big guys when he can. You think about dating back to, on the current team, well, Jack Salt from the graduate from the 2019 championship team, he had a redshirt year. We know Jay Huff did. He's a rising junior this year. He'll be a senior in school, but a junior basketball eligibility wise. Mami Diakite is back for a fifth year. He redshirted as a true freshman. Francisco Cafaro, he'll be a redshirt freshman on this year's team. Tony likes to redshirt his big guys. When you look at it that way, Kadeen Shedrick, it seemed destined for that to be the case, but we've not seen or heard anything official. I mean, Tony leaves it to the guys. There was a famous story about Devin Hall, not a big guy, 6'5 guard, who's now vying for a spot in the NBA, second year pro out of UVA, second round pick of the Oklahoma City Thunder last year. And Hall was given the opportunity to redshirt when he first matriculated on grounds and really resisted, talked about how he resisted, and then was convinced after thinking it through, and I think it was Jason Williford, I'm pretty sure it was Jason Williford, who said, look, the value we get out of you your fifth year versus the value we get out of you your first year here, that fifth year is going to be a lot more valuable to us and to you as well. And Hall eventually sat that last year. He was a second team, fifth year. He was a second team All-ACC performer. So that was a good trade. That's what led him to getting drafted in the second round of the NBA draft. It's what obviously led to his NBA career. He was given one more year to develop, and that helped. So this has worked for Tony Bennett, and not a lot of college coaches redshirt guys intentionally anymore. Usually the redshirts are only because you have a guy transferred in or something like that. But we just haven't had an official word on Kadeen Shedrick, and we still don't. But when Paul Biancardi asked Tony Bennett specifically about Kadeen, I don't think it takes much tea leaf reading to figure out where Tony's going here. The quote is, Kadeen was a late bloomer. I remember the first time I watched him play, he did not have a good game. I saw his activity potential. He throws his body around and blocks shots with mobility. He has a soft touch around the basket. As his body fills out, he has big upside on both ends of the floor. So these are the kind of things he talked about. Tony talked about how he's talked with Shedrick's family and that they, quote, get it. They were humble about his game and understood the long-range plan. Sometimes with bigger guys that are newer to the game, it's more of a process. These are not the kind of things to say about a kid who's going to be the fourth big on your roster this year. And Tony prefers, it seems, we've seen in the last few years, he prefers a three-man rotation at the big spots. Technically, in his offense and his defense, really UVA plays three guards, two forwards. It's not the traditional two guards, two forwards in the center kind of alignment that you see. I'm not sure how many teams you really see doing that anymore anyway, but UVA was a forerunner of this with Bennett. He's heading into his 11th year now. And Tony's success last year, the UVA team's success last year, came when really, honestly, you had a lot of what we would call four-guard lineup. In fact, when I did the analysis, UVA went four-guard about 75% of the time last year. So those three guys that play four and five, at least on paper, were really three guys playing kind of four and a half and five. The lineup flexibility of DeAndre Hunter and Braxton Key was really key there. We still have Key. He'll be a redshirt senior this year. Actually, not redshirt. He didn't have to redshirt when he transferred from Alabama. He'll be a senior this year, Key will. And Key provides some flexibility. in terms of that. He'll be the only Swiss Army Knight we've got. We had two last year. It was so helpful to last year's team. But I still expect a lot of four guard because it worked so well for UVA this past year. And so that said, yeah, when you're looking at the numbers game, Shedrick, you know, if he wants, if he decides he just desperately wants to play as a true freshman, Tony won't stand in his way. We've seen, you know, he'll have a guy play if the guy wants to be part of that. But I don't know about the minutes being there. We know that after 2019-2020, we know Mami Diakite will be out of the mix. It's a possibility that Jay Huff will. I honestly think that Huff will have a banner year this year with the shackles kind of off, playing time a little more guaranteed. Jay Huff could have an NBA draft-worthy season this year. And if he does, then, you know, that clears some more room in the front court. You've also got Sam Hauser coming in, the 6'9 transfer from Marquette. He'll be a redshirt senior next year, 2020-21. And then, you know, presumably he, Kafaro, and then Shedrick would be your three, four and a half and fives that year with a buku of guards on that team. So, I thought that was worthy. Just even though again it's nothing official, it just we know where Tony thinks. More from this talk with Paul Biancardi. And I just thought this was great. It's not X's and O's or anything else, but I think you learn this. You should read the column that I wrote. The Biancardi interview was kind of presented. I mean, sometimes I do this, so I'm not denigrating it all, but it was just presented as a question and answer, basically the transcription of Biancardi's question and then Tony's answer. I try to put some context to it a little bit. But, you know, one question that came up, it wasn't worded this way. I'm wording it this way. I would have worded it better. I don't get to talk one-on-one with Tony, but I would have worded it better. I'm not Paul Biancardi, so I don't get that. I did co-write a book on UVA basketball's championship, but still, I'm not that important. But the question I would have phrased it would be, can he recruit guys to play in a system that requires them to go hard? That's what UVA's mantra is. You go hard. You just go hard. And we go hard. Man, you talk about the way Virginia plays defense, the way Virginia plays offense, they go hard. It's not like there's two guys standing in the corner and one guy pounding the ball on the floor, ISO plays. That's not the way Virginia plays offense. You don't play defense by, you know, having a guy stand back there and block shots and then grab rebounds if they miss. I mean, that's UVA plays hard 40 minutes or more every night from November, whatever, until April or March or April, whatever. I mean, every night those guys play hard every single possession, offense and defense, 40 minutes. Not a lot of teams anywhere do that, but UVA does, and that's the secret to success. So Biancardi's question was in essence that question. Yeah, how do you recruit given how hard you play? His answer was there's plenty of freedom in the system. You learn how to play the right way. This the sales pitch you can just imagine that Tony's given to those top recruits when he's sitting in the living rooms with mom and dad. There are different ways to play. Is this system helping you prepare to be a successful NBA player or professional player? That has proven itself out with a number of players over the years. Yeah, guys like Malcolm. I'm throwing this in now. Guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Joe Harris, DeAndre Hunter, Ty Jerome, Justin Anderson, Mike Scott, Kyle Guy. The fun thing about each of those guys is none were pegged as surefire NBA guys coming out of high school. They were all good recruits. Kyle Guy was McDonald's All-American, but is also 6'2", 260 pounds. DeAndre Hunter had the eyes of scouts early, but he had a redshirt year. He's another one of those guys who redshirted because he was 6'7", 180 pounds coming out of high school. He ends up leaving UVA 6'7", 230, and I see him up close like I did in locker rooms after games. Man, he could play tight end in the NFL. His shoulders are so wide. But he didn't come to UVA that way. Made himself into that. But none of those guys were NBA players coming out of high school. They were all expected to be. When you're a four-star recruit, and I think all those guys were four-star recruits. Let me do that again real quick. Mike Scott wasn't, but everybody else was a four-star recruit. You're expected to be a good college player, but you're not, you know, none of those guys, again, were. I mean, DeAndre Hunter played himself from a redshirt freshman year, where he had a redshirt to gain weight. Maybe 2 years later, he's the number four pick in the first round of the draft. So that system can produce players, is basically what the answer there is. You know, and I like this answer too. I'm paraphrasing, but then I'll give a quote. You know, he said his message to kids who think that they're NBA players is that unless you're LeBron James or Anthony Davis, maybe Kawhi Leonard, even Kawhi Leonard was a role player for a while, but unless you're that level of talent, at some point in the NBA, as you're making your way into the NBA, you're going to have to be a role player first to get playing time to then be able to become a star. If you think you're a star NBA player eventually, okay, if you're Zion Williamson, he'll have to put, I think he has to prove himself, but you know, you're going to be given the opportunity to be the star. When LeBron James came out, he was expected to be the star. Most guys get drafted, we're just waiting to see if they become stars. And in the meantime, you've got to do the little things. And so what Bennett's message is our system teaches you that right away. Now the quotes, you better know how to be efficient, how to guard and make the next pass, take good shots, make open shots, not cost your team. That's the reality of it, Bennett said. And talking with NBA teams, they like efficiency. You better learn to be efficient before you get there, because if you try to learn efficiency in the NBA, you're not going to be there a long time. And so that runs counter to what you think you know, at least, about the Kentuckys and Dukes. You know, John Calipari will tell you the most important day at Kentucky basketball isn't March Madness or even the national championship game if they happen to get there. It's NBA draft day. Well, that's because those kids go in there thinking they're all going to be star NBA players. You know, one of the five pillars from Tony Bennett is humility. And the bedrock of his program is humility. You know, when you talk about four stars redshirting as freshmen, when you talk about, you know, I talked about Devin Hall and how he, you know, was talked to about redshirting, eventually allowed himself to be talked into redshirting as a freshman. His first couple of seasons, even after that redshirt year, were nothing to write home about. I mean, he entered his redshirt junior year still an afterthought in a lot of people's minds. He played himself over the years. He got better every year and played himself into the chance of being an NBA player because he was willing to accept the hard work. There was a lot of thought, at least around folks who covered the program, that after Hall's redshirt sophomore year, there's no way this kid comes back. He's going to transfer out. He's got to be so frustrated that he's not getting playing time, he's not getting this, not getting that. He worked his way into the NBA because he accepted that he needed to be a role player and eventually played himself into being a star at the college level and now has a chance to work his way in the NBA. And I give other examples. I looked this up because I had to kind of refresh my memory. Malcolm Brogdon, we all assume, I mean, to me, you know, he might be more important than Ralph Sampson. Now I'll have to make this argument at some point. He might be more important than Ralph Sampson, though, in the development of this program to winning a national championship. And my thoughts on this are not fully formed, obviously, because I just spit those words out. It's the first time I've ever even had the thought. But I would argue this because Brogdon was the heart and soul of that team that won the ACC regular season and ACC tournament. Without that run in 2013-2014, we don't get the recruits afterwards that win the championship. And Malcolm Brogdon will, to me, always be that guy. You know, I hate when people talk about the Mount Rushmore of this or that or the other. But I'd put his big head up there. Him and Ralph and then Tony and Terry, and that'd be my Mount Rushmore. Maybe I'd put Malcolm's head closest to the where people take their pictures, because I think that without Malcolm Brogdon and what he meant to that program, I'm not sure the UVA basketball has this confetti on my desk right now from the Final Four floor. He started one game as a freshman. You didn't remember that. I didn't remember that. He started one game as a freshman. Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy. I remember they played a lot as freshmen. Ty started five games. Kyle started seven games. 2 years later, they're winning a championship and leaving school early. 5 and 7 starts respectively. DeAndre Hunter and Justin Anderson, both ACC Sixth Men of the Year. That means you didn't start. They were both first-round picks. DeAndre Hunter was the fourth pick in the draft. You better know how to be efficient, how to guard and make the next pass. And talking with NBA teams like efficiency, I have to quote in there twice. Yeah, I have to take that quote. I've got in there twice. But Bennett, the recruiter, obviously looking for talent, but he's more so he's looking for talents who are also competitors. There are too many talented guys out there. You're always going to face guys who are bigger and better. So if you're not a competitor, it's not going to work. Watching Ty, Kyle, and DeAndre, they were all competitive. It's a separator. I'm talking about, you know, the competitor. Tony said he's driven by this quote from the late track athlete Steve Prefontaine. To give anything less than your best is to sacrifice your gift. Think about that. To give anything less than your best is to sacrifice your gift. And that goes, I mean, and you hear me say that, and I'm quoting Tony's, and he's quoting Steve Prefontaine. But if you live that as your life principle, it doesn't matter what you're talking about, whatever you're doing in life. If you give less than your best, you're sacrificing. I think that says a lot. I think the fact that that's such an important quote for Tony Bennett says a lot about how he's built that program in 10 years to be a national champion. The Lord has blessed me with a gift to coach. I want to honor and maximize that gift. That drives me to be my best as a coach and as a program to prepare them to win, to help develop them as far as my why factor to win at the highest level. I don't want to sacrifice the gift and opportunity I've been given. So, you know, he's talked in the past about, and he still has it apparently, the poster from the first movie, the first Rocky movie, and how his favorite quote from the movie is, "I just want a chance at a title fight." He talked about that a lot, of course, this past spring, and he got his chance at the title fight. And Tony says when he's out there on the recruiting trail, he's looking for talent. I mean, you don't want to emphasize that, but I want guys who have that mentality, that want to go toe-to-toe against the best for a title. You can do that in the ACC. My message before was, look, this program has done everything but go to a Final Four and win a national championship. Well, now that's happened, and there's nothing wrong with saying, let's go do that again. It validates what we are doing. At UVA, we can give kids a great education, offer players a chance to be on a successful team, and have individual success to reach your dreams of playing professionally. As long as those things keep happening, it enhances the attractiveness of what this is all about. That right there, folks, is why your coach led his team to a national championship. The players won it, he would tell you. But that's why your coach and those players won a national championship. It is that will to succeed, the will to compete, and the idea that if they do anything less than work the hardest they can, they're sacrificing what they've been given. Live your life that way. You'll be okay. You'll be very fortunate, actually, if you live your life that way. So there you go. It's a short basketball podcast. It is August 1st, so it's a basketball podcast. I think we should all be happy that we're at least able to talk some basketball this time of year. For those listening to this podcast, maybe you haven't seen the others we have coming out, I'm trying to kind of bunch them up on the weekends. I think a lot of folks, I do this myself, like to save up podcasts for the weekends and listen. So we've got this one on basketball. I got a football-themed podcast, UVA football-themed podcast. We're also going to do another one later today on Thursday. We're recording a quick NASCAR podcast with Ron Mullins. And then tomorrow, Friday, I'll do my end-of-the-week wrap with Jerry Carter. And Jerry and I will talk about everything. So, but there's something to, you know, a few things to occupy you while you're painting the porch or whatever you're doing this weekend. Hopefully, I was going to say avoid the heat. It's not going to be that hot, but hopefully something to entertain you this weekend as you're going about your way. Well, I want to thank you for listening. And as I do all the time, we're talking UVA sports, and I do a podcast, and I'm bidding adieu. I say, wahoo.